To our New Testament reading from the book of Ephesians, continuing our study this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, again, starting at verse 22, and this morning we'll read through verse 32, page 1158 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians 4, 22 through 32. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Congregation of Christ, this morning, once again, we're looking at the words of the Apostle Paul contained in his letter to the Ephesians. In the early chapters of this letter, Paul laid out the wonderful blessings which God has bestowed upon his people, as he calls it, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Those blessings include choosing us to be adopted as his sons in Jesus Christ. They include the blessings of redemption and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, Paul mentions our spiritual rebirth, being raised with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. And he goes on to speak of the blessing of uniting both Jew and Gentile into one body in Christ. And Paul's goal in recounting these great blessings is to motivate us to live godly lives. In chapter 4, he begins painting a picture for us of what that life, or walk as he calls it, ought to look like. It's a walk that's characterized by Christian purity and Christian unity. We're to put off the old self, he says, and to put on the new. And we can do that because we've been regenerated by the Spirit of God and have been made into new creatures in Christ. Unregenerate people can't do the things that Paul commands, but new creatures in Christ can and must. We must put off everything that pertains to that old nature. And so he writes, we must put off lying and falsehood, and in its place we must speak the truth. Our words must be wholesome and helpful, building others up and benefiting those who hear. We must put off all sinful anger and exhibit only the kind of anger which reflects God's holy character. We must put off stealing and in its place labor hard with our hands so that we may be able to respond with Christian generosity to genuine human needs. This morning, our focus is on verse 30, where Paul writes, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption." It's a verse which stands out from the other things that Paul has been saying. And it's a stark contrast to what you find in all the moral systems and religions of men. In other religions, you'll find teachings about being honest in your speech and about not stealing and controlling your anger and the like. But this particular verse shows how essentially different Christianity is from all the religions and moral systems of the world. Nowhere in the religions or philosophies of man do you read, "Do not grieve the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God." The moral systems of the world may be based on law-keeping, rule-keeping. You live this way because, well, that's the law. It might be nature's law, it might be God's law, but that's the way the law says you should live. Or they may teach, you need to live like this because living this way is the best way to assure your present or eternal happiness. It's the subjective motivation. You live in a certain way for the benefits it brings you, or to avoid unpleasant consequences. But Christianity gives us a totally unique motivation to live holy and pure lives. The Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who's transformed us and is Himself our seal of the redemption that Jesus has purchased for us. He, the Spirit of God, has come to dwell in us. Now, these words that we're looking at this morning are written to Christian believers who've come to experience the new birth. Paul's not speaking about the unregenerate here. The command not to grieve the Holy Spirit is a command for believers, because the Holy Spirit lives in them. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in the unbeliever. Unbelievers can't resist the Spirit. They can resist them, but they can't grieve them. At least not in the way that a believer can grieve Him. Because the Holy Spirit is in the believer. I don't know if you remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, but there we find these words. He says, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." So this morning, let's think about what Paul says about this sin of grieving the Holy Spirit. What is the sin of grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, to start with, everything that Paul's mentioned up to this point in chapter 4, the things of the old self which were to put off, are things which can grieve the Spirit. If you recall, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul calls Christians to Christian unity. And if we go about sowing dissension in the ranks and contention among brothers and sisters in Christ, we can grieve the Spirit. He calls us to Christian purity. If we continue to live like the Gentiles do, as he describes in verse 19, we grieve the Spirit. Remember there, Paul writes, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." Such behavior grieves the Spirit. Lying and falsehood, verse 25. Unholy anger, verse 26. Stealing rather than laboring hard, verse 28. unwholesome language coming from our mouths. Verse 29. All of these things can grieve the Spirit if we continue in them and aren't striving to put them off. But the things Paul mentions after verse 30 are also things that grieve the Spirit. Look at verse 31. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Verse 32. Failing to forgive or to be compassionate toward one another. And continuing to chapter 5, verse 3. Any hint of immorality or greed or obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking. Immorality and impurity. Greed, again, he mentions greed, or any form of idolatry. These things grieve the Spirit if we abide in them and aren't striving to put them off. But let me put it in a more general sense. Anything we continue in which is unholy grieves the Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And when you're born again and united to Christ, He comes to live in you. And He cannot tolerate what is unholy. And if you tolerate it in yourself, it will grieve Him. And we're not simply talking about the words we speak and the deeds we do. Since He lives in us, He knows our every thought. And if we think we can enjoy sin in our thoughts, whether those are lustful thoughts or murderous thoughts or covetous thoughts, He knows them all, and it will grieve Him. Anything that is unholy grieves Him. And there's another way we can grieve Him. We can grieve Him by ignoring His presence in us. How often do you think about the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You should think about it every day. When you rise in the morning, you should remember, I am a child of God, saved by the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has put His Spirit in me. Remember back in chapter 1 of this book of Ephesians, Paul wrote, having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. The seal that you belong to Christ is the Holy Spirit in you. He's the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You must never forget that He lives in you. And if you remember that He's in you, it will help you to avoid temptation. He's made your body to be His temple. Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore honor God in your body. Remembering that He's in you is a great incentive to avoid sin. It will help you remember that you just can't do anything you wish. Or anything that the world tells you to do with your body. You belong to Christ. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if we forget the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, or ignore it, we do Him a mighty injustice. How does it feel when someone ignores your presence? You speak to them, but they don't answer, acting as if you don't exist. There are fewer more hurtful or hateful things that someone can do to someone than that. Treat them like a non-person. Ignore them. It's a terrible thing to do. And if you ignore the Spirit's presence in you, you will grieve the Spirit of God. And you can grieve Him by ignoring His promptings and leadings. He does lead us, you know. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Spirit of God is constantly leading the believer away from sin and into closer communion with God. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. He's the one who prompts us to pray or to read the Word. And He brings words of Scripture to our minds just when we need to recall them. And He sends brothers and sisters in Christ who also have the Spirit in them to speak a word in season, which we often need to hear. If you don't follow His promptings, or if you thwart them, or try to postpone them, or ignore them, you grieve the Spirit of God. And so the Apostle Paul gives this solemn warning. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Think about that last phrase for a moment. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Paul's already spoken of the sealing with the Holy Spirit as one of those blessings we've received in the heavenly realms back in chapter 1. The Holy Spirit's a seal. His presence in us marks us out as God's property. But here, Paul says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. If you fail to understand the final goal of redemption, it will grieve the Spirit. What is the final object of redemption? Is it to have my sins forgiven? Is it that so now I can be happy all the day? Is it so that I can be free from all the problems of life? None of those things are the final object of salvation. They're the incidentals. The object, the goal, is the day of redemption. We must thank God for all these other blessings, but let's not confuse them with the final goal. What lies ahead of us far surpasses all these temporal things. The day is coming when Christ will come back and judge the world in righteousness, and He will destroy His every enemy. And then He will remove every vestige of evil out of this whole universe. And He'll usher in His eternal kingdom. And in that day, believers will receive new and glorified bodies, purified bodies. And there won't be a spot or wrinkle to mar the purity of the bride of Christ. Everything that is unworthy will be removed. Sin will be purged out of God's universe. And we shall be holy and blameless before Him in love. That's the final end, the grand object of redemption. And If we don't understand the object and purpose of redemption, we can grieve the Spirit. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Think about that for a moment. Was it simply so that you might not go to hell? If that's all, you can say you've missed something. It was so that you could go to glory. Answer the question positively, not negatively. It wasn't simply so that you could be delivered from this or that. What have you been prepared for? What have you been delivered for? You have been prepared for glory. And Jesus came and died to bring you to glory so that you could live forever in His presence and in the presence of the Father. The day of redemption is drawing near, and the Holy Spirit in you is a seal that assures you that you will attain that final redemption. What does a seal do? Well, a seal testifies to the reality therein. The Holy Spirit testifies that we belong to Christ. The Bible says that the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. It says that the Spirit of God within us cries out, Abba, Father. Our sense of assurance comes from the Holy Spirit. But what happens if you grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, a true believer will not lose his or her salvation. God's purpose in election stands firm. You're not a child of God one day and not His the next day. Either you are or you aren't. But you can lose your sense of assurance. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, you will lose the sense of His presence. And that, to a true child of God, is a terrible prospect. When David sinned against God by taking for himself the wife of Uriah the Hittite and having her husband murdered, God sent Nathan the prophet to him. And through Nathan's parable, which he spoke to David, God brought David under conviction of his sin. And while he was under the convicting power of God, David penned the words of the 51st Psalm. I hope you know that Psalm. There are few places in the Bible like it where you can see true sorrow for sin and penitence in action. Let me just read to you two verses from that great psalm. You know what David feared once he had come under conviction of his sin? Listen to verses 11 and 12. Psalm 51. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What was it that David pleaded with God not to allow to happen? We just read it. Not to be cast away from His presence, and not to have the Holy Spirit taken away from him. If God withdraws His Holy Spirit from you because you've grieved the Spirit, it will be pure misery for you. You'll lose the joy of your salvation. You'll lose the assurance of your salvation. You'll feel as if you weren't even a child of God. And And he can give you over to the sins of the flesh to chastise you, and they will rule over you. Notice I didn't say that you'll stop being a child of God, but you'll be miserable. God loves you enough to withdraw his sweet presence from you in order to bring you to your knees. David feared lest the presence of the Holy Spirit might be taken from him. And he begged God not to take his spirit away. People of Christ, if you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he may withdraw his presence from you in order to bring you back. Do you really wish to be led by God's rod rather than by his gentle staff? David prayed, "Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." In just a few moments, we'll be coming to the table of our Lord. We come to receive the signs and seals of Jesus' death in our place as sinners. And this morning, if there's some sin in you that you're clinging to or refusing to part with, don't profane his table by coming without repentance. Lord's Supper is a meal for penitent sinners who put their faith in the Lord Jesus and who are striving against their sins and turning from them. But if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, don't come and proclaim the Lord's table. You will be eating and drinking even more judgment on yourself if you do. But friend, there's hope, even for the one who has grieved the Spirit of God. Call upon the Lord Jesus to forgive you and to rescue you. Repent and turn to God. Give up your sin that you cling so strongly to. Pray to God, like David prayed in Psalm 51. Plead with God to turn you from your sinful ways. And live every day remembering that the Spirit of God is in you. Start your day remembering, "I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Everything I do or think will be in his presence. O Lord, may there be nothing that I do that would ever grieve or disappoint him." Believers in Christ have been sealed to the day of redemption, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him, the Holy Spirit of God. In him you have been sealed to the day of redemption. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, what an awesome thing it is to be created by the Heavenly Father and saved by Jesus and to have the Holy Spirit within us. What a terrible thing it is to do despite, to grieve the Spirit of God. Father in heaven, may we hear and hearken to the warnings of your word that we have heard this morning. Write them on our hearts. Lord, where we have conducted ourselves, where we have allowed sin that grieves the Spirit of God to remain in us, Lord, help us to depart from it. Oh Lord, cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us, for he is our seal of your presence until the day of redemption. Through Christ we pray. Amen.